This is Second Look, only on 103.3 WZND. Here to take a second look at the stories the WZND Newsroom has covered this week. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Second Look starts now.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Second Look. We apologize for the delay in start time. We were dealing with some technical difficulties. Second Look is the show where we take an in-depth second look at last week's stories. I'm Colleen Holden.
I'm Beyond. Today we will be looking at info on the upcoming solar eclipse and how McLean County is observing Distracted Driving Month and Public Health Awareness Week.
Tomorrow is shaping up to be an astronomical day for space news, with a total solar eclipse occurring in the early to mid-afternoon. Lauren Leisure from the news team sat down with the ISU Planetarium Director, Thomas Fulmage, to discuss the science behind the cataclysmic event.
Vision Department, as well as the Astronomy Club, kind of talking about what kind of event is taking place and what students need to prepare, and kind of more focused on the event. Now we're going to do an article and a story kind of based upon the solar eclipse and the science behind it. So I just have a couple questions about that to help me out in the answers.
All right.
So my first one would be, what makes this upcoming solar eclipse unique or significant compared to other eclipses?
Well, I'm not sure which other eclipses you're referring to. We had the August 21st, 2017 eclipse, but it had been a great, great many years up until that point. We had the 2017 eclipse, but it had been many years before that. The last eclipse spanned North America. This is actually a fairly unusual event in that there are two eclipses a year on average worldwide, but you have to travel to the eclipse to see it. The eclipse doesn't come to you, as it were. And although there's only 7 years between the August 21st, 2017 eclipse and the upcoming April 8th eclipse, it will be a long time before we see another here in North America. We'll have one in the next one in the continuous 48 states won't be until the year 2044. And then to see that eclipse, you'll have to be up in the Pacific Northwest. The following year, there will be an eclipse that spans the U.S., but it'll pass across the southern states. It'll start off in west and then move eastward, eventually off the southern part of the U.S. seaboard. And after that, it's into the 2100s that the next eclipse will occur here in North America. So if you want to travel, you know, to Chile or sit on board a ship in the middle of the Indian Ocean or something, you might catch an eclipse relatively soon, sometime over the next few years. But again, to see one here, you're going to have to wait a while.
Okay, great. And then can you kind of explain the science behind a solar eclipse and how it occurs?
The moon orbits around the Earth. It revolves around the Earth once a month, and that's where the month comes from. It's 29 and a half days from one full moon to the next. There's a time each month when the moon is out in front of the Earth. That's the time of new moon. That's actually new moon here this coming Monday. And at new moon, most of the time as the moon passes in front of the Earth, it rides a little high in the sky or it rides a little low in the sky. It doesn't pass directly between the Earth and the sun. However, on average, twice a year, the moon will pass directly between the Earth and the sun, and when that occurs, well, we have a solar eclipse. If it's seen from anywhere on the Earth, the moon just sort of clips the face of the sun, that's a partial eclipse, but when we get the moon moving directly, I mean really directly, between the Earth and the sun, well, that's when we experience a total solar eclipse. The shadow of the moon is actually pretty big. It'll cover a good chunk of the United States as the shadow passes from west to east across the country on the 8th. But that being said, it's a fairly narrow band along the center line of that shadow where you don't see anything of the face of the sun at all. The rest of the shadow, yeah, you'll see a little sun peeking out from behind the moon. But again, there's a narrow band, on average, around 100 miles or so in width. And if you're in that path of totality, as it's called, well, that's when you actually see a true total solar eclipse. The amount of time that the moon blocks the sun from you, on average, somewhere around 4 minutes-ish. And that'll be the case with this eclipse. And during that time, you'll be able to safely, without any eye protection, and again, I've got to emphasize, this is only along the path of totality, but along that center line, you'd actually be able, without eye protection, to look at the sun, because you're not going to see it. The moon completely blocks the face. And what you will see in place of the sun is the bright corona, the outer atmosphere of the sun. That's pretty big. So that you'll see extending out beyond the moon. It's a beautiful sight. It's hard to describe. This ephemeral sort of glowing white patch in the sky. But at the same time, the landscape will dim. It'll be as if you were in twilight. Birds will head for their nests. Crickets will begin to chirp. The stars will come out. And for the eclipse on Monday, if you were down, say, in Carbondale, where they are along the path of totality, well, if you're along Carbondale, you'll actually see the planets Venus, Jupiter, and Mars all visible in the sky. It's really weird, though, because it'll be like twilight, and yet at twilight, you're accustomed to seeing long shadows, right, from the setting sun. Well, that's not going to happen. There won't be any shadows. Also, as you scan the horizon, in every direction you look, it'll be the same brightness, unlike during sunset. So it's, and temperatures, the temperatures will drop probably about 4 degrees. So all in all, it's quite a unique experience, those 4 minutes along the path of totality. Oh, and lastly, for this eclipse, the path of totality is going to extend across the U.S. It'll start off the coast of Mexico in the Pacific Ocean. Then eventually it'll sweep through Mexico, through Texas, through Austin, Texas, for instance. Eventually it'll sweep across Carbondale, Illinois, then Indianapolis, Indiana, Cleveland, Ohio, and then on up into New England, across Nova Scotia, and out into the Atlantic Ocean. And at that point, the moon will have moved from between the Earth and Sun, and the eclipse will come to an end.
All right. Well, thanks so much. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Second Look on 103.3 WZND.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to Second Look on WZND. In case you missed it so far, we've talked about the upcoming solar eclipse.
Yesterday, Rivian unveiled 3 new models at an event in Uptown, one of which will be produced here in Normal. The R2, which will have its sole production facility in Normal, is a new mid-sized electric vehicle that will start at around $50,000. Rivian reports that the R2 will begin to be sold to consumers in 2026, and executives from Rivian claim that the production of the R2 will stay in Normal perpetually.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has released its 2024 planting forecast for Illinois, which predicts the production numbers for different crops statewide. Corn production, which nearly 11 million acres of land are dedicated to, is expected to be down about 3% from last year, while soybean production is expected to increase by about 1%. Other crops seeing significant amounts of change in anticipated production are oats, which will be up 9% in production, and hay, which will be up around 15%.
Heartland Community College partnered up with ISU to display an Indian cultural event, which ran from April 2nd to April 6th. At Heartland, the event was held at the Astroff Community Education Center, and at ISU, it was held in the Vrooman Center, located in Hewitt, Manchester, and the State Farm Hall of Business. And part of highlighting the culture, guests had the opportunity to go to lectures, taste some of the cuisine, and experience the arts and crafts within the culture.
Over the past week, Bradley joined ISU in participation in OSF Healthcare's Innovation Academic Incubator, which is a program that assists college students in contributing to breakthrough research with staff at OSF Healthcare. The IAI is primarily focused on incorporating newer innovations into the healthcare industry, such as virtual reality and artificial intelligence. ISU has been collaborating with IAI since March 2023.
Doug Collins has been announced to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. The ISU legend played a part in the 1972 Olympics and holds the scoring record for the Redbirds at 2,240 points. Collins was also selected first overall by the 76ers in 1973 NBA drafts. He also coached Michael Jordan and the 1986 Chicago Bulls. ISU baseball is currently ahead 2-1 in its series with Valparaiso. On Friday, the team took care of business, getting an 11-1 victory over the Beacons. In Game 2, the Redbirds got a 3-1 win. Be sure to tune into WZND.com, where Brayden Fogerson and Jasper Jones have the call at 12:50 for the series finale.
The month of April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month. Months like these are meant to promote safe driving habits and lower the statistics on motor vehicle accidents. Riley Klump from the news team talked with Officer Brad Park of the Normal Police Department to discuss the importance of the month.
How does the campaign work?
So the campaign is a grant that is provided through the Illinois Department of Transportation. Normal PD gets funds to hire back officers to specifically patrol the streets around the Bloomington Normal area, looking for distracted driving and other Illinois Vehicle Code violations.
What technically is considered distracted driving?
So really anything that is similar to having a cell phone in your hand, that's really what we focus on for distracted driving. In Illinois, the law states you cannot have your cell phone in your hand when you're driving, whether it's to make a phone call or to check a map or to, you know, do any social media, anything like that. So our goal is just to have people put their cell phones down and focus on the road for safety reasons.
You kind of mentioned this just a brief moment ago, the resources of like increasing patrol. Are the funds from that from Normal Police Department, or is that like Illinois Department of Transportation?
So we put out overtime assignments to officers that want to work the detail, and then the funds are then provided through the IDOT grant to cover the overtime or the shift assignments for those officers.
Are there any special procedures that go along with this?
We do different grants throughout the year. Some are for intoxicated motorists, so that's getting, you know, focusing more on DUIs and stuff like that. Some are maybe seatbelt safety-related details as well. Kind of the main thing with this grant is the officers that are out working the detail are specifically looking for distracted driving or speeders, and they're not responding to calls. So generally our patrol division, when they are working, they do try to make traffic stops when they can. However, it all depends on the call volume and the call load that they're receiving to respond to different calls around town. With the grant and the details associated with the grant, those officers are not responding to calls around town because they're assigned to a different detail. So they're specifically just looking for the distracted driving and other violations that are going on.
Do you have any specific tips or advice for motorists to be safe drivers?
One thing that's really specific about the Normal and ISU area is we do have a lot of pedestrians. And so our number one goal is safety, not only for motorists, but also for pedestrians that are walking, you know, around campus area. That's why we tell drivers, like, you have to pay extra special attention when you're driving through campus because people are walking much more than other parts of town. So putting that cell phone down. Also, what we see with a very young community within the ISU campus is, you know, numbers show that the younger people do have their phone in their hand more when they're driving. And so we're also trying to focus that on those areas where the students are to make sure that they're understanding the safety issues as well.
And what is the Normal Police Department's end goal for the campaign?
Yeah, so really our goal is to make campus safe and in the Normal area safe. So our main goal every year is to have zero fatal accidents, to have zero pedestrian accidents, to have, you know, people just feel safe and comfortable when they're on campus, whether it's driving or walking around. You know, how we kind of quantify that number, it's somewhat difficult because we can't say it's just because of these grants these details that we're doing. But our main goal is just to look at the numbers quarterly through the department and make sure that our numbers are trending down based year over year, because if we can show that we have a decline year over year in accidents, then we know that we're doing something right.
Outside of that, do you have any other information you would like to share or provide?
So, you know, we do see an increase with newer vehicles having access to hands-free capabilities, whether that's hands-free calling, hands-free texting. We just tell people if you do have a vehicle that is capable of supporting those that type of technology to make sure that your phone can be paired with that, whether you have to plug it in through a cable or not, because we find that that's definitely more beneficial. We understand that people are going to have to make phone calls when they're driving, but if it's something that they can press a quick button on their screen on their car and, you know, talk through their car, make sure that we can definitely, that they're definitely doing that.
Also in April is Public Health Awareness Week during the first week. I sat down with Marianne Manco from the McLean County Health Department to discuss how they are taking advantage of the event.
First off, I know that this week is Public Health Awareness Week, and there's a few different, like, there's different themes for all the different days of the week. Could you just go into, like, what some of those are and why they matter?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, National Public Health Week is really to make people aware of what it is that public health does and how all of us are really a part of public health. And ironically, that just happens to be the theme for 2024. It is protecting, connecting, and thriving. We are all public health. And that's important because all of us play a role in keeping the other people, including ourselves and our families and the community as a whole, safe and healthy. And I think nothing demonstrated that more than a pandemic that we recently had. You know, we really were reinforced with the things that we needed to do to stop the spread of respiratory infections. COVID is just one respiratory infection, but because the SARS-CoV-2, the virus that caused the disease COVID, because COVID was a brand new disease, the likes of which humans really had no natural immunity, that was just so important to be able to understand what viruses do, how they mutate, how people are able to be exposed to that virus, and then how infection works. In that case, since we didn't have natural immunity, the only way to get natural immunity is to take your chances and get COVID. And we know that that didn't work out for well over a million people in America. The vaccine is designed really like most vaccines are designed. They're designed to keep us healthy even if we are. So every year there's a flu shot. As a child, most people will have, by the time they're 20 today, most people will have about 20 vaccines for all the different kinds of diseases and infections that we in the past didn't have vaccinations for. So that's just one sample of how all of us are really involved in community health. And then the daily themes are Mondays with civic engagement, healthy neighborhoods is another one, climate change, how that affects all of us and how we can be active in learning about climate change and really getting the facts, new tools and innovations, reproductive and sexual health, very important. The more that you know, the less chances you have of being able to become infected with a viral infection that you didn't even know that it was a possibility for you. Emergency preparedness is another one. Anytime that there is an emergency, even if it is a natural disaster, for example, there's always health issues as well. So the McLean County Health Department and all public health departments, we need to be prepared for those public emergencies because everybody plays a role and we do as well. And then talking about just the future of public health and, you know, where we're going with public health right now.
So you talked earlier a little bit about the COVID-19 pandemic. How do you think that that impacted the way that we view the importance of public health?
Well, I think every time that you have a storm cloud above you, there's always a silver lining. And I think that it was the positives that came from this pandemic were that many of us now really do understand what respiratory viruses are about, how they spread through respiratory droplets or from touching certain surfaces, how long they live, the fact that we then touch our hands and to our face, and that we can spread viruses that way. Many people already knew that, but then that really enforced hand washing, for example. You know, when most people for the first time were learning that washing your hands for a full 20 seconds with soap and water and doing that frequently will really cut down on your chances of any respiratory illness. Well, we know that, but public health and the people in public health have known that for decades and decades. The, you know, staying at least 6 feet apart and that social distancing, that's always been a part of helping to prevent and avoid respiratory infection. Contact tracing has always been a huge part for centuries, actually, in public health. We've always been able to contact trace where something came from and really be able to start following that virus or that infection or illness so that we can understand it. So that's what we do in public health, vaccination and avoiding different kinds of infectious diseases are really important to us as well. And when we're all healthy overall, that's when we're really a thriving community.
You said that, I believe it was Sunday, was the day that was themed around the future of public health. Could you go more into what that looks like?
Taking a look at the future of public health, one of the things that we know for certain is that socioeconomic situation, your race, where you live, all of that has an effect on your health. And we need to make sure that we are diverse and equal so that everybody has equal access to all of the mental and physical health needs that they need to attend to. And that's really somewhere that we have been very strong in over the last decade or two, is that public health is really taking a look and very much taking a look with a microscope as to how people from poorer backgrounds, from neighborhoods where incomes are lower, from neighborhoods where there is more pollution, from cities that do not have public parks or neighborhoods that do not have public parks. Something as simple as you're living in the neighborhood and there isn't a local neighborhood that sells healthy food. For people who have to go to the other side of town just to get healthy food, and maybe they can't afford their own transportation, that's a pretty big deal, and that affects our health. So taking a look really at equity in public health is really where we're going in the future. That's just one area that we would like to excel in, because everything should be equitable, including our health.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Second Look. Today we looked at the upcoming solar eclipse and how McLean County is observing Distracted Driving Month and Public Health Awareness Week.
I'm Colleen Holden.
And I'm Luke Biondi.
This has been WZND's Second Look. Catch more WZND in-depth news every Sunday at noon with WZND's Bird's Eye View and Second Look. For more WZND news, find us online at WZND.com.